to get everyone from Silicon Valley sophisticates to street entrepreneurs in Buenos Aires onto Lightning, we need to make it easy. But easy is not quite enough. It also has to be non-custodial, or we'll end up right back where we started. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. We have got a really fun one today. This is actually about the Breeze Lightning Wallet. We've read a few by Roy in the past, and he has really pioneered the idea of the Lightning service provider. And I think the release, the announce that they just dropped with an update for their wallet, the Breeze Wallet, it's just a great example of how we could potentially see financial services and this internet of money, the Lightning Network, begin to really grow, and where all of this stuff goes into the background. Now, if you're looking for a straight Bitcoin wallet and not a Lightning wallet, well, then you can go with our lovely supporters of the show, Hexa Wallet. This is a really great seedless mobile wallet with a unique backup process that takes advantage of your contacts and multiple locations to keep your funds secure. And I know I've said 100 times, but I love their in-app batching. It's still just the coolest thing to me. So a thank you to Hexa Wallet for supporting the Bitcoin Audible podcast. Now, just a heads up, the article we are reading today has quite a bit of kind of technical stuff. Just kind of development that's been going on with the Lightning Network and this wallet in particular. But we are going to go back over it afterwards. So stay around for Guy's take. If you have any confusion with this, I'll try to really layman's terms break down a lot of what they're discussing. But let's go ahead and get into this article all about the future of the Lightning user experience. And it's titled, The Breeze Release Candidate. Getting Lightning Ready for the Global Takeover, by Roy Scheinfeld. For some, Bitcoin is an asset with great speculative potential, and Lightning is Bitcoin's new toy. That's fine, I guess. For others, Lightning is about equality, emancipation, autonomy, and freedom. Imagine this kid entering a bank and applying for an account. Now, I don't know who he is, I don't know his name, but I do know that he runs his own business in Hyderabad. If he went into a bank to open an account, they'd probably ask for a place of residence, picture ID, a minimum deposit, and maybe even legal guardians that he might not have. He would be rejected. That makes me sad and a little angry. I also know that one Breeze user, Jay Rupee, helped him to download and start using the Breeze point of sale mode. The bankers and bureaucrats who would deny him can now go piss up a rope. With Breeze, that kid can now receive payments and keep running his business. Using it, he is weakening anyone standing in his way. That's why I love my job. That's why we work so hard on Breeze. That's what inspired our new release. We're decentralizing the monetary system, and with it, power. Hierarchy is a decrepit old building. Inequality is its foundation. Breeze is our dynamite. To get everyone, from Silicon Valley sophisticates to street entrepreneurs in Buenos Aires, onto Lightning, we need to make it easy. But easy is not quite enough. It also has to be non-custodial, or we'll end up right back where we started. Breeze has always been non-custodial and easy. Now it's virtually noob-proof and remains a peer-to-peer solution devoted to Satoshi's vision. We've just managed to remove some remaining friction and implement some cool new tech without making it feel technical. This version is not quite ready to be called our production release, but we're close enough to count production's whiskers. This release is a significant improvement to the Breeze product, and it's a significant improvement to Lightning. Best of all, it's a fist in the air, an act of emancipation. Enough with the philosophical musings. I can't wait to tell you about those awesome features and how they'll improve the user experience and obviate custodians of all kinds. 1. Channel creation on the fly. In previous releases, Breeze would automatically open a new channel with Breeze mobile nodes upon initialization. The capacity was fairly large, 1 million sats, but that was not always enough inbound liquidity for all new users. Existing users might also lack sufficient inbound liquidity if they were in the blessed position of receiving more payments than they made. With this release, inbound liquidity becomes a problem that future generations will not understand, like debugging software by checking the order of the punch cards. Now, if Breeze notices that a user lacks the inbound liquidity to process a payment, it simply opens further channels as needed. Exactly. The channels between Breeze and the users adapt dynamically to their individual usage patterns. A user's capacity automatically grows with their needs. Pretty cool, huh? The automaticity is immediate. 1. When Bob wants to receive a payment but lacks inbound capacity, his Breeze app recognizes the lack and issues two invoices using the same preimage. One to Alice requesting payment, and a second one to the Breeze LSP. The amount of the second invoice equals the amount requested from Alice minus a minuscule service fee to Breeze for opening the channel Bob requires. The invoice sent to Alice includes routing instructions, indicating a pseudo channel between Bob and the Breeze node. 2. When Alice pays the invoice she received from Bob, the Breeze node intercepts the payment and holds it. 3. The Breeze node then opens a channel with Bob and skips funding confirmation. Then it pays Bob the second invoice and receives the preimage. And 4. Once the preimage is received from Bob, Breeze settles the payment with Alice. Importantly, the users remain virtually oblivious to all of this. The complexity stops before it ever reaches their eyes or fingertips. Inbound liquidity remains an issue, but it is now an issue for engineers and developers to worry about, not users. The catch here is the cost. For every channel Breeze opens, we have to pay mining fees, and we're committing sweet, valuable, delicious capital to the channel. How much? Breeze adds 100,000 sats to every channel. So if a user receives 50,000 sats, the channel Breeze creates will contain 150,000 sats. To cushion that blow, we now charge 0.1%. Yes, a mere 1,000th of the amount received per channel created. Minuscule means minuscule. 2. Zero confirmation channels. We've discussed zero conf channels and their trade-offs before. In effect, they allow users to start using Lightning payment channels before those channels have been confirmed on-chain. It's like placing your order in a restaurant and letting the kitchen get started before you've paid your bill. We've now gone ahead with our own implementation on top of LND. When the Breeze node creates channels on the fly in response to user demand, they're actually zero conf channels. These are not standard channels because they can function before they have been confirmed on the chain. Instead of making users wait until blocks are mined, these channels become active instantly, allowing users to spend their funds immediately after they receive them. Onboarding just went from a matter of minutes to seconds. Yes, zero conf channels do involve a quantum of trust. Until the channel is confirmed, users have to trust Breeze with the funds on the new channel. They can verify that a funding transaction has been initiated, but without confirmation from the chain, they can't be certain that Breeze hasn't tried to double spend. Using, spending, and paying those funds outwards will reduce the trust users temporarily extend. After about an hour, at average mining pace, there's nothing to worry about anyway because Breeze uses a target confirmation time of 6 blocks. Once confirmed, zero-conf channels become standard, trust-free Lightning channels. 3. Sending multipath payments. Attentive readers will already have guessed that, thanks to channels being created on the fly, most users will soon have multiple channels open with Breeze under the hood. As we've mentioned before, MPPs, or multipath payments, give users access to the sum of their local balances, letting them use all the Bitcoin in their Lightning wallets for any given transaction, regardless of how those funds are distributed among their channels. In other words, multipath payments let Breeze automate how a user's multiple channels interact and keep that complexity out of sight. While receiving multipath payments was already possible with Breeze, we've now enabled users to send via multipath payments. Distributing a payment among different channels is now as obtrusive and cumbersome as routing an email through the net to its destination. Exactly. It's invisible and automatic. In fact, Breeze has developed its own optimization protocol to improve how MPPs work on mobile clients. Instead of trying to find the right combination of channels to use by having the payment amount successively until the pieces are small enough to send with the local balances available, the Breeze client is smarter. The first division automatically takes the largest local channel balance as its starting point and works from there. The result is less computation and less channel fragmentation, or in other words, fewer channels with tiny, barely usable balances left. 4. A 4 million sat limit. Until now, Breeze has capped the default channel at 1 million sats. With the new multi-channel architecture and after having routed hundreds of thousands of transactions over thousands of channels, our system has proven itself. The rewards of testing before trusting are more freedom and fewer limits. Instead of limiting a single channel to 1 million sats, Breeze now limits the sum of all a user's local balances to 4 million sats. The new limit of 4 million sats is a quantitative change that brings a qualitative difference in use cases. Users' microtransactions need not be so micro any longer. Instead of being able to purchase, say, a pizza or a game over a single channel, they'll now be able to purchase things like a new phone or even a flight. Number 5. Zero Channel Reserve. Lightning's standard specs included a channel reserve set at 1% of the funds stored at both ends of the channel. The idea is like inserting a coin into a shopping cart's coin lock. The coin is worth far less than the cart, but it's just enough of an incentive for the user not to abuse the cart. Breeze had the channel reserve set at just 600 sats to be less of a nuisance. But it would be contradictory to say that channel creation happens under the hood while simultaneously keeping a 600 sat channel reserve on each of a user's 2, 5, 47 channels, especially when those additional channels are created automatically on the fly. In order to eliminate the inconvenience of proliferating channel reserves, we eliminated the concept. Breeze channels now have no reserve. Zero reserve equals zero inconvenience. Existing users will need to close their existing channels in order to enjoy zero channel reserve. Here is how. Link provided. 6. Connecting to multiple nodes. This isn't a new feature, but it's important to mention that users can still use Breeze to connect to other LSPs and even to their own home-based nodes. Although we've added support for zero-conf channels via the Breeze LSP, opening Lightning channels with other nodes is, of course, still possible and encouraged. Why? For us, decentralization is non-negotiable. There's more to the Lightning user experience than what users see in the app. It's also important to consider the shape of the network, where they store and send their money. Are they subject to censorship? Is the network prone to failure, or is it robust? Is the liquidity concentrated or diffuse? The ability to create channels and interact with multiple nodes remains the backbone of a decentralized Lightning network. For example, Breeze users can open their own channels and connect to other nodes using LNUR channel. The choice of a non-Breeze LSP like LNBig or BitRefill's Thor is theirs. We are trying to succeed in this ecosystem, not to monopolize it. Letting our users connect with other LSPs demonstrates our commitment to a decentralized peer-to-peer payment network. A combination of invisible and visible improvements by and for all of us. Of course, such an extensive update with so many new features would not be complete without giving the homepage UI a facelift and to make the experience even smoother. It also stands on a massive foundation of changes that we've made to the Breeze library, to our underlying LND implementation, and to the mobile app. We couldn't ask for nor create a better footing on which to further improve our consumer and merchant solutions. I'd like to thank all you Breezers out there. Sure, we coded these improvements, but in a very real sense, you are our quality assurance department. Our users even inspire ideas about how to improve Breeze with new features like the point of sale mode. They give us plenty of very sharp and useful feedback about what they would like to see and how we can improve. We don't compromise because you won't let us. And that's awesome. So thank you. You rock. But that thank you is not meant to imply that our mission is accomplished. We're introducing many new features here, including our big LND 0.11 upgrade. Like everything in life, it's a test. We need you to continue telling us what works, what doesn't, what could be improved, and what new innovations you'd like to see that we may not have even imagined yet. Our users help us to improve. We help Lightning to improve. Lightning helps Bitcoin to improve. And all together, we might just help the world to improve. Let's keep it up. All right, and that closes out the announcement from Breeze, talking about a lot of the major features that have dropped in their new in their kind of library of tools that they have available here. And this is just getting, I've always been a huge proponent of this wallet, just because it's one of the best, if not the best non-custodial Lightning wallet that I have on iOS. Again, I've been playing with a lot of others, but most of the Lightning wallets, like Lightning Labs, just straight Lightning wallet, requires a lot of technical understanding, like to figure out what you're doing. I mean, you have to open up your own channels, and I think that in and of itself, I mean, it's not something that, you know, gets in my way just because I love tinkering on that side of things, but I think just trying to explain a channel to most people is really, really hard, and it's not an intuitive thing at all. So I want to go through a lot of these features with this wallet and talk about them in just a moment. Let's go ahead and talk about some supporters of the show for a little bit, and then we will get back into Guy's take on all of these massive developments coming to Lightning, and more specifically, the Breeze Lightning service. So I've talked about Liberty Classroom a lot recently on the show, and I have been pushing them because I've been a longtime customer of Tom Wood's. I mean, I love his show, and he is an excellent source of everything economics and history, and Liberty Classroom is a great resource for that. So if you want to check it out, you can find it at guyswan.com/liberty. But it is definitely on the advanced side. It's somebody who wants to further their education after having gone through school. But there's another great one, the Ron Paul Curriculum. This is actually a K-12 homeschool program and college prep course. And this is going to be way better and way cheaper than what you get in public schooling. This is not Common Core. It's largely self-taught. It's like 98% self-taught over grade 3. There are 8,200 video-based lessons in this. And you don't have to buy any textbooks. Like, PDFs are just on-site. They're free. You have weekly writing assignments. And best of all, the things that they don't teach you in school, how to run your own business and deal with personal finances. Where else can you get that kind of education for your kids? And in COVID days, a lot of parents are having to homeschool anyway, so what could be the cost of at least just looking into this? And it comes with a 100% money back guarantee. So you can check out the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum at guyswan.com/Ron Paul. And if you're just interested in diving into economics or history yourself, or you want to give it as a gift, you can do the Liberty Classroom at guyswan.com/Liberty. These are just two great programs that I know some of you out there can benefit from, so I wanted to share it. And of course, signing up through my links will also support the podcast. Okay, so there's quite a bit to unpack in this article. If you don't really know, A, a lot about Lightning, or B, haven't really used or dug into the Breeze wallet yet. So, first, I know a lot of you probably do know it, but we also have a lot of new listeners to the show recently. So, just in case, a basic overview of Lightning. So, Lightning is, as we all know, just a way to make payments in Bitcoin that you don't have to broadcast to the entire Bitcoin chain. And this is done with channels. You post a transaction to Bitcoin that opens up a channel. And a really easy way to conceptualize this, it's not like perfectly accurate, but I think it paints the simplest picture, is that you're defining exactly how much bandwidth you have with an amount of Bitcoin, and you are connecting to the Lightning network. So just like you have an internet connection and, you know, maybe it maxes out at a megabyte per second or something like that, however much Bitcoin you put in this channel is the bandwidth of capital that you have onto the Lightning network, and you connect into it. And just like if you connect to an ISP that has no connections anywhere else, like it's just a, you know, building somewhere with no other wires coming out of it, you can't send it anywhere. Well, if you connect to a Lightning node that has no other connections, well, you can't send your Bitcoin anywhere. You need to connect to someone who also has bandwidth with someone else, and then you can send through all of these separate connections to reach your destination. And that's where the idea of an LSP comes in. A Lightning service provider is someone, a node on the network, that specifically specializes in having tons of bandwidth and tons of well-placed connections to different places in the network so that it can build out just like the internet and you can always get to California and you always have really good bandwidth. Now, the beauty of this in comparison to the ISP model is that you're entirely dependent on and have virtually no selection, or an incredibly limited selection in your internet service provider. You might have two internet service providers or three in your area, but more often than not, they're all using a single hub. They're just sharing and selling bandwidth to each other on this same communications network. Like in my area, I have like four or five that I can use, but it's just two networks. It's the fiber network and then the coaxial network in my area. And of course, I'm also dependent on them for all my communications, for my connections. It's essentially the custodial version of a service into Lightning. Whereas in this case, with Bitcoin, is it only takes a Bitcoin transaction to set up with any LSP anywhere in the world to have a connection to any Lightning node. And of course, you can run your own. But I can literally connect to anyone in the entire world. Let's say that I don't know how to run my Lightning node and I just want to have some other person or some other service provide that for me. Well, I can still do it non-custodial. I just connect to whichever one I think is the best service provider, which has the lowest fees, the highest bandwidth. And it doesn't matter if they are in Russia, doesn't matter if they're in China, doesn't matter if they're in the US, because the Bitcoin transaction that I connect, that is my connection, my opening connection into the Lightning network, is uncensorable. It's on the Bitcoin network. Well, then I can connect to anything in the entire world. There is no limitation whatsoever. It is strictly what the Lightning network can provide me, and what the entire global market of nodes and channels and everything can it makes available to me, that is my selection. It is a true free global market to connect to these things. And then after that, you can spend or receive up to your bandwidth. That's the idea in a nutshell. And we'll kind of keep using this analogy explain a lot of these things that have happened in Breeze and that I think is going to become very common and widespread among Lightning in general. We've actually seen a couple of these features in other wallets in various forms. And I think these are going to become standards. I think it's very clear that these are going to be staples of Lightning and that Lightning service providers will be a thing, particularly if this fee model is profitable for them, the 0.1% fee, which we'll get to in a second. I really think that this is really just showing what an unbelievable game changer Lightning is set up to be. So let's go ahead and just actually get into the article here and kind of go through each of these piece by piece. Now, the coolest thing here that they start out with is channel creation on the fly. This is something that I think for any Lightning wallet that is also providing essentially a Lightning node, you know, this concept of an LSP in it, this is going to be absolutely crucial. This is a no-brainer for usability, is that when you send it a Bitcoin or a Lightning payment, that there is a channel, there's a modification of the channel whenever it is needed. And this, of course, happens entirely in the background. And like I say, this is absolutely crucial because having to explain a channel to somebody is basically the step where you know normal people aren't going to use it. If I had to explain like IP addresses and how a connection was established in a router for someone to be able to properly use the internet, nobody would use the internet. Like, you don't have to do that with a mobile phone. And that is why there are billions of people using mobile phones. They just do all of that for you. And now, this was really just an inevitability. That's not true. You had to build it. It had to be made. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not a huge challenge to overcome. It was like, this is obvious. This is obviously something that Lightning could overcome. In fact, there were many, many different proposals as to how to overcome this exact problem. And what they actually used are HODL HTLCs. Intercept Forward is what it was referring to. And now that kind of sounds like scary, particularly when we're talking about non-custodial. I actually don't even like that they use the word intercept, but that's actually it's called Intercept Forward HTLC on GitHub. So this is just kind of what they call it. But it does not come with like this horrible problem that like, oh my God, they took my money and now I'm waiting for them to do something on their end. That's not actually what's happening. So I'll explain this really quick. So the four-step process that they just drop out in this article starts with Bob wants to receive a payment, but does not have the capacity, right? Doesn't have the bandwidth in the channel to receive it. But he still will just create an invoice for it as if he does. He doesn't know the process isn't any different, sends that to Alice. Then when Alice tries to make the payment, the Breeze node basically accepts it as if there is a route there and then quote-unquote intercepts it. But what this means, this is something that was added to LND called HODL HTLCs. And what that means is that it literally just allows the payment to move toward that direction. Like the payment itself is still locked to Bob. Breeze can't take the money. But because they know Bob can't receive it, they basically accept that the payment is going to go this route, but then pause. They just put it on hold. And then you can release it with three different conditions: resume, fail, or settle. Resume means that the payment just continues to go forward because either capacity was added and now it can work. Or maybe there was capacity and the HODL HTLC was to wait for some sort of a digital product to be downloaded. Like, it almost got to the destination, then it gets paused until some sort of criteria is fulfilled, and then resume. Fail is just that, you know, this didn't work, let's cancel this. And then settle. Settle is the interesting thing, and that is what Breeze is using. So to settle the transaction is kind of like trading it for something else. So in this case, what they are doing is they're going to open it, they're going to hold it, they're going to pause the transaction where it met Breeze, and then Breeze is going to open up a new connection to Bob with more bandwidth, because that was the problem, right? There wasn't enough bandwidth in the Lightning connection. So they did a new one that has more bandwidth. But instead of just resuming that payment, which would just give Bob the full amount, what they can do is they can settle it with Bob. They can trade and be like, here's this new liquidity. We will do this in exchange for the secret that unlocks this payment. We will pay you the full payment minus 0.1%. The fee that we are taking for giving you liquidity, or, you know, increasing your bandwidth on the Lightning Network. So Breeze pays Bob a different transaction with the small fee taken out. And again, they can't resume the regular one because Breeze has no power whatsoever to change that transaction. They can't just like snatch some out of it and be like, here's the rest of it, Bob. So they have to make a different transaction. And then Bob gives over the key for the original transaction, and then Breeze can accept that one on Bob's behalf. That is the only time that Breeze can actually take any of the money. And it's explicitly because Bob already got paid. Now, that settle can actually be used for anything. This is a wonderful first use case for the concept because it's solving the problems or the hindrances of Lightning itself. Like, what limitations are on Lightning? Well, one of those is that there are liquidity problems. There is a bandwidth limit to the connections that you have to Lightning because it's non-custodial. If it wasn't, you know, if it's not non-custodial, well, then you just have unlimited because somebody else is doing it all for you. In other words, there's no bandwidth because you're not on the internet. Somebody else is just holding all of your money. You're not on the Lightning Network. But the beauty of this tool is that nobody knows. This is all in the background. You just have a default fee set with Breeze to provide this service with you that you set in the wallet, that is set just in your client, and it just always happens. And it's also pretty cool, too, that they are adding sats to the channels. So on top of the default channel that you would get with a million sats is that you always have a little bit of extra bandwidth. So, like, let's say you have a 2 million sat channel, but you have 2 million sats in your wallet. Well, that means that all of your bandwidth can only move in one direction. It can only go out. You can only spend Bitcoin. Whereas if you have spent 2 million out and you have zero in your wallet, now you can receive 2 million. But one thing that they're doing to try to mitigate a lot of these issues so that you always have a little bit more room is that they're adding 100,000 sats to whatever channel. So if I send myself a 2 million sat transaction, they're going to tack another 100,000 on top of it so I can receive another couple of dollars automatically before I need to spend anything out to get my bandwidth back. And if anybody here is complaining about the 0.1% fee, you're crazy, because that means that for to send yourself $100 not on Lightning, it's a 10-cent fee. That's awesome. Now, the other major thing that I knew Breeze was going to be implementing at some point, and this, just the fact that this all drops at the exact same time, is just too awesome. This is referred to in other contexts as turbo channels, zero confirmation channels, however you want to call it. But this is basically a channel that you don't have to wait for. That's what that means. It's the transaction is written and broadcasted for, you know, this new connection into Lightning, and you can use it immediately. And it actually makes sense that this is easy to do, that you can do this. Because when you really get into how these channels work, how you open up these connections into Lightning, is that it's a contract. So you're just writing a contract that you're publishing to Bitcoin that says, I own this in the you know, in this channel, and you own this amount. And so here's the full amount, and then this is what we each have. And we privately have our own copies of our balances, how much you have versus how much I have. And then on Lightning, we just constantly update what each of our individual balances are. And there's basically an insurance clause written into the original transaction that allows us to exit if either one of us cheats. But all of the updating happens off chain. So we don't actually need the channel. We don't actually need this channel confirmed on the Bitcoin chain in order to update, because we can just keep writing. We can write updates as fast as we want, as many times as we want, as long as we're relatively sure it's going to confirm. Well, then why not, right? And this is what Phoenix Wallet, which is a wallet on Android, which has not yet come to iPhone, unfortunately, but now we don't need it because we got Breeze, has been using this for quite some time. And again, I think this is going to become a standard. It just doesn't make sense not to take advantage of it. And the one downside is there's a degree of trust in the interim. Like, while you're waiting for confirmation, you aren't 100% certain if you can exit from this channel safely. But here's the thing, is that if you spend out of it, which if you've received coins, that's basically what you're going to do, right? Well, sending Bitcoin out of the channel does not increase your trust risk. It lowers it by default because it means you own less in the channel. So if it doesn't confirm, it doesn't matter. Or it matters less and less. So let's say I receive like a $200 payment in this channel, and we do a turbo channel, we do a zero confirmation channel, we have to open one to make that work, and then I spend out $200 in the next hour because I was literally right around, going to turn right around and spend it all on Fold, buy something on Amazon and whatever. Well, then now I'm not trusting anybody for anything. I'm holding a part of a channel that's empty for me, that I don't have any trust in it at all because I don't own anything in it. If it doesn't confirm, well, I don't care. Neither one of us should care. In fact, like, it would be nice if it didn't confirm if I don't want to use it again. But in the case of like something like Breeze, we'll just have it confirm and now I can receive $200 again. It's literally just a matter of waiting a few minutes, you know, waiting the 20 minutes or whatever it is to get all the confirmations and be like, okay, yeah, definitely, we're good. We got this new connection into Lightning. We got all this bandwidth. We're solid, good to go. Multi-path payments. Now, it makes sense that this didn't really land until the on-the-fly channel creation was made, or that it makes sense that after the on-the-fly channel creation is made that you need to have multi-path payments. But this one is really... This is one of those things that is like a huge shift in how the experience of Lightning works, because one of the problems with the individual channels is that you have a balance for each channel. And multipath payments essentially makes it so every single channel is just added up. So even if you have 5 channels with 1 million sats in each channel, your wallet shows you have 5 million sats, and I can spend 4.5 million sats. I simply use all of my channels at once as if they are one channel. Now, they've had this for a little while on the receiving side, but now you can actually send. So your Breeze wallet, your whatever your balance is, no matter how many channels you have, is a single balance. And that is awesome. There are not many mobile wallets that take advantage of this. In fact, I think for both of these, for all three of these features that we've talked about at once, I don't think there is another one. I may not be aware of it. If I'm not, please, somebody in the Audionauts, and our Telegram crew or anybody, let me know, because I want to play with all of them. I want to test all of these wallets out. I want to know which ones are the best and what all these features are. If you know of one that has all of this stuff other than Breeze, let me know. I want to start tinkering with it. But right now, this is just a massive update to Breeze. And I think this is just going to be major. I'm super, super stoked about this. And now the last couple of updates, I don't think are huge shifts. Really good for usability, but just not things that need really a lot of explaining. There's now just a 4 million sat limit, which is, you know, $440, something like that. And give Bitcoin a little bit of a bull run. And, you know, who knows, it might be $1,000 for too long without even changing the limit. But that's just, there's more bandwidth in the wallet, period, end of story. Zero channel reserve. Now, this is something that's a little bit, that I could easily see is a bit of an issue for the user that hasn't experienced this or doesn't really understand what's happening in the background with Lightning. Is to have like that last couple of cent in your wallet and not be able to spend it, that matters. It really does. Because I've had to explain this to a couple of people that I've tried to onboard to Lightning, and it makes perfect sense. Obviously, you've got to have a little bit of reserve for, paying fees and all of this stuff. But the fact that they've gotten rid of this, particularly after, you know, you might end up with a ton of different channels, that's just really, really cool. And I don't know if this is something where Breeze is just okay with accepting this risk, you know, and, you know, trying to let that 0.1% fee take charge of it or basically cover the cost of that risk. But this is really cool. If I've got one penny in my Breeze Lightning wallet, I can send it, period. And that's awesome. And then lastly is connecting to multiple nodes. So the default node, and it actually makes you like request or confirm like right at the beginning when you start up the wallet, is obviously Breeze. You're using Breeze as your node. But I haven't actually taken advantage of this yet because just using Breeze. But I immediately right out the gate, I mean, this landed, I got a notification just a couple of hours ago on this. Updated it and immediately sent myself 2 million sats to see how it would open a new channel. And it worked. I've got it here. Everything looks good. And it actually opened. I still have the 1 million sats in the normal channel, which is actually pretty cool because that means I have it in addition. So I've got 2 million extra bandwidth that I would have had rather than taking up my current bandwidth and then, you know, adding an additional million or something. So I can still receive quite a bit of payment in this app. The last feature, which I think is just crucial to have, even though I'm probably not going to use it. I mean, I might connect to my BTC Pay server node just to tinker around with it. But connecting to multiple nodes, you know, you need to be able to connect to any LSP you want. And if someone starts taking advantage of all of these things, basically starts providing it in this way, I'm totally happy to switch and try out these other ones. And the fact that my wallet is a non-custodial wallet that can take advantage of this and connect to any LSP I want makes me want to keep using Breeze. This is just like, you know, that is the key, right? Is that this needs to be decentralized. You need to be able to connect to any service provider in the world, anywhere. And we do not want to build tools that don't allow this, that, you know, start to set the precedent that this should not be the default. It should always be the default. End of story. This is a decentralized payment network. And if we want, if it's going to be non-custodial, it doesn't mean anything when you say non-custodial if you can't decide who your non-custodial connection is, right? And I love that these guys are devoted to that. It's just a really cool wallet. I've been using it for a really long time. And this is a massive update that I'm super excited about. So I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I was like, all right, I just got to do an episode on this because I'm not going to get anything successfully done on a different one because I was already just breaking it out, like opening up channels and sending transactions and doing crap. And so they already ruined my day for getting anything else done. And it was like, okay, well, you know, I'll just tell everybody about it. Now think about this. These are just now available in, I mean, Breeze has been in beta this whole time. This is the first release candidate. This is the first, like, okay, normal users who have no idea what Bitcoin or Lightning is can potentially take advantage of this. That is where we are stepping into. This is the sort of user experience that can get us there. This is the sort of thing that can successfully offload thousands of times the number of transactions as are done on chain. And I don't think Roy is joking here. Like, I don't think he's exaggerating when you see this as kind of a first step. Like, this is getting Lightning ready for a global takeover. This is what we have now. And there is development on all sorts of things happening at a ridiculous pace. Imagine just if every Lightning wallet could adopt these handful of features. Like, this is not like crazy next level stuff. These are major, simple building blocks for the base of it. And then it enables all of these other features. Like, think about the things that you could do with a HODL HTLC outside of simply this tool of opening up a channel. But you can settle for any other thing. And you can add additional complexity to this or an entirely different set of agreements just between those two because, you know, in the context of like me and Breeze is I've got a channel. So we can do anything in that channel, settle something, send packets of information like a file or something, messages, anything like that in order to forward this payment or to settle this payment in some way. That last hop could have all sorts of services attached to it. And again, this is just the beginning. These are just early steps in figuring out how to implement these things and to get this stuff working smoothly and setting the standards for the other apps. So if, you know, Breeze is successful in this, and imagine that 0.1% fee ends up being successful and ends up actually being sustainable, like, that is awesome. I mean, they've been doing it without a fee for quite some time now. So it's really cool to see how this model might actually unfold and then get to see competition in this and other people starting to get on board and realizing that this is the Lightning experience. And we can start to hide all of this behind the scenes and everything is just a single balance and multi-path payments are ubiquitous because, you know, they came to L&D, but not everybody's worked out all the kinks in implementing it and getting it in all the mobile wallets or, you know, the BTC Pay server and all these things. So there's still just a lot of steps to be made, but this thing is just going to be freaking huge, man. I've been using it constantly and this is a major, major usability improvement. And this is my main non-custodial wallet. So I've already been just using the crap out of Strike and Fold at this point and offloading a lot of it to Breeze. But again, I was filling up my capacity in Breeze. I was filling up my bandwidth in Breeze like really quickly. And now I don't have that. I'm not going to have that problem. Now I can just keep filling up that wallet as I need to if I'm stacking from Strike. And Strike just added being able to send Bitcoin payments. So I can send a Lightning or a Bitcoin payment. Like, Lightning is just going to be a way to offload like 99% of your transactions. And Bitcoin will be there to open and close specific connections, quote unquote, you know, channels, bandwidth and connections onto the Lightning network and for, you know, going to your multi-sig savings. And Taproot just got merged. We just the last episode. So all of this is going to be hidden. Like, imagine you get to open a channel and it doesn't even look like a multi-sig wallet. It doesn't have a huge signature and script attached to it. It's just one signature. So you can do it for the exact same fee as if you did it for a normal transaction and you get the privacy. You get privacy and you have the same thing in multi-sig. Like all of these incremental improvements are going to have multiplicative effects on the ability to scale and use these systems. And this is what I've been talking about. This is what we've gone into so many times about how incremental improvements are going to just multiply something that is already working at some, you know, lesser extent. So, like, whereas when I first started getting into Lightning, Breeze was probably the first really user-friendly wallet that I started kind of pushing on people, and I started using myself, and then I started playing around with a bunch of these others, but I didn't use it a lot. And I think there was a little while there where I was basically in a situation where with what I could use it for and how I was using Lightning Network, for a couple of months, I was offloading about one out of every five or six payments. I think I actually did a Twitter post about it after I was like looking at all my transactions and what I had to do. And it was like I did like 8 megabytes, I think, was the measure, that it was as if I had 8 megabyte blocks for myself. And then it wasn't too long after that when I set up my BTC Pay server and got some channels with some bigger bigger capacity, and like I was buying like my BitBlock Boom tickets and stuff over it. I was actually the first Lightning customer for Gary Leland on BitBlock Boom. What is up? And so I did it with Lightning, and I started getting to the point where I did like just a general back of the napkin math, and it was as if I had quote unquote 22 blocks, like 22 megabyte blocks on Bitcoin, because of how much I could do on Lightning versus having to go to Bitcoin, because either Lightning wasn't accepted, or I couldn't do it through a service that was available on Lightning, or the payment was too big, all of those things, you know, just general limitations. What can Lightning not do right now versus what do I have to do over Bitcoin? And all of these minor improvements just kept making it better and better and better, and having fewer and fewer problems. And suddenly, like with Strike and stuff, I'm doing so many payments. Like, I don't even know what the ratio is now. And it would take me a while to figure it out. I am probably like 99 to 1 on this right now. I use almost all Lightning. The only Bitcoin transactions I do at this point are funding of channels, a couple of times moving to my multi-sig wallet, and then my auto withdrawal from Swan Bitcoin. That goes to my Unchained Caravan wallet, like my multi-sig, my savings. And that's it. The rest is on Lightning. And I use it every day. And to be able to do this like non-custodially now, to be able to just like kind of offload from Strike straight to Breeze, and then kind of bounce around from there as I need to, this is going to be another order of magnitude improvement. And this is what Parker Lewis talks about in his piece in the Gradually Then Suddenly series. He talks about Bitcoin is not too slow, and the idea is that Bitcoin achieved digital scarcity. The problem that it solved was a revolution in a monetary system. It did something for the first time. It is a 0-to-1 invention. It invented digital scarcity, and now that we have digital scarcity, we can solve the payments problem. But the scaling problem, the ability to scale the payments on Bitcoin, is not a 0-to-1 problem. It is a 1-to-n. In other words, it is an infinite problem. You can't just solve it with a block size increase. It has to be solved a different way. We're never going to just have 20 megabyte blocks on Bitcoin. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't even begin to touch the problem. And the idea is that anybody with half a brain can see, projecting into the future, that payments will always increase in amount. Every single time we reach a new threshold where it becomes that much cheaper, or we have that much more capacity, more people will fill in. The desire to do things with our money will never decrease. It will always increase. We will just fill the available space that we have, and then we'll have to incrementally improve it again. This is a never-ending process. There's no cap. There's no like, oh, we got 10,000 transactions per second, we're done. Then we're going to have to figure out 20. Then we're going to have to figure out 500,000. Then we're going to have to figure out 1 million, then 50 million. It's always going to go up. Block size has nothing to do with the solution to the scaling problem. Lightning Network is it. And I truly think this is going to work. With the every single time another seemingly minor or small step improvement comes out, not like this drop of like six different things with Breeze, but even with those like little minor improvements, I see it getting better, more reliable, and more useful every single day. And this is seriously going to be massive. I'm so stoked about it. This was a huge drop this morning. A huge thank you to Breeze Wallet. Another huge thank you to Hexa Wallet for supporting Bitcoin Audible and making this show available so I can tell you all you guys about this stuff and I can keep up with it and I can make it my life's work to tinker with all of these things and find out what works and what doesn't. Now that I can, you know, use Hexa Wallet for my main Bitcoin wallet and I can do batch sending outside of the wallet, I can just, you know, keep adding a contact. Anybody who's in my contacts or whatever, again, DM me if you want to be a contact on Hexa. But I can just keep adding a contacts. I can just keep scanning new addresses and it batches. It saves that precious blockchain space and it lets me do it all at once. Now I can open a channel with Breeze. I can send myself an additional Breeze payment and add my bandwidth on the Lightning Network. I can send a payment to somebody and I can send to my multi-sig savings all at once in a batch transaction and super efficient and offload all my payments onto Lightning and see just how much closer we are to a Bitcoin and Lightning future. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you guys. Huge thank you to Breeze for this amazing development. Huge thank you to Hexa Wallet for supporting the show. And thank you to everyone else supporting this podcast, either by sharing it out or donating and becoming a patron. And of course, my lovely Satoshi's Audionauts in the Telegram crew, my patrons, you are my people. And until next time, take it easy, guys.